I'm very excited. You know, my dad said to me, if you ever get nervous speaking to a crowd, all you have to do is to pretend that they're a herd of cows. It's a good thing I'm not nervous, because otherwise you look like cows to me. But you don't. But speaking of animals, let's look at this one. This one. Moo. Okay. This is a lion. You know, this is from the Chronicles of Narnia. Wait, did I say that right? Yeah. Chronicles of Narnia, written by C.S. Lewis. This is when Susan said, or she suddenly discovered that Aslan was in fact not a man. He's a lion. And so she asked, is this Aslan safe?
Yeah.
And the beaver said, safe? Who said anything about safe? He's not safe, but he's good. He is the king. So, I tell you, we're still celebrating. I'm about to tell you why we're still celebrating 2,000 years after the fact. What is the fact? That very first Christmas. Why? I mean, we have a pandemic. We have things going on. There's a lockdown. There's all kinds of scary things like virus and variants. But we're still celebrating. Why? God is so good. I don't know why. Do you know why? So, Christmas! You know, when we think of Christmas, we see this light, this star, there is a mom, there's a baby, there is a dad, and then we say there's a silent night, there's a holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, the mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, and he's sleeping in heavenly peace. And then we sing... She's so impressed I memorized it. It's a song, Mio. Away in a manger, no crib for a babe. The little Lord Jesus lays down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle's are lowing. The baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. So we see a picture of a baby. Oh, he's such a good baby. Who doesn't want that? I'm about to have a grandson. I want my grandson like that too. But then we have this lyrics, probably one of the most powerful lyrics ever written. Yeah? O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee. Who is thee? Jesus. Are met in thee tonight. Hope that a Savior would come. Fear that a Savior would come. You know, to those who are faithful, Jesus say, I'm everything you hope I will be. And to his enemies, he says, I am everything you fear I will be. And so like Aslan, he's not safe. If you're the enemy, he is not safe. But if you're for him and you're with him, he's good. He's the king, I tell you. So let's pray. Father, we want to commit this time to you. We thank you for your word that we're about to look into. It is, your scripture is, breathed out and inspired by you. It is so profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness that the man of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We thank you, O God, for your word that is bread, it is manna, it is fresh, it is daily, and it's so nourishing for us. Lord, your word is like seed that when planted in the good soil of our heart will bear fruit. It will take root and bear fruit. We thank you, God, for that word. Lord, they don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from you. So speak, O God. Holy Spirit, minister to each and every person here and use this jar of clay to deliver what it is that you have in store for everyone. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Are you okay? Are you comfortable? Do I speak funny? No, you get used to this. I am who I am. Humans can live, they say. Humans can live 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but only 4 seconds, can you guess, without hope. 4 seconds. Would you take? If I were to tell you that the God, our Jehovah Jireh, who supplies us with food and water and air, is also able to supply us with hope. If I were to tell you on that very first Christmas, when Christ came, it was God giving us hope to live. And what if I were to say to you that it is God giving us a second chance to live, not just make a living, but to live a life that is full? Wow. You know, the enemy comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but he comes that we might have life and have it what? Oh, you got to work with me. Have it what? All right, only Sue. Again, have it what? Abundantly. Oh my gosh, we have such a good life. I got to contain myself. I get so excited about this. So we're still celebrating because the God, our God is a God of second chance. He will give us hope. He will give us second chance because we need hope to survive. All right? Now this world that we live in, it does not give us second chances. Not really. They're not very nice, are they? Now, we live in this philosophy, this idea in this philosophy that, you know, if we don't like someone, we don't like something about them, we just cancel them. Yeah? It's called a cancel culture. Cancel culture. In a cancel culture, people are not important. If they don't agree with us, vaccine, no vaccine. Booster, no booster. Cocktail of vaccine or no. You know, we cancel them. I don't know, maybe it's the environment they grew up in. You know, it's they appoint themselves as judge, jury, and executioner. Off with the head. Yeah, we cancel people like that. In a cancel culture, relationships are not important. Yeah? You don't like someone? You have a fight with them? Bounce. You go from friend to friend, relationship to relationship, marriage to marriage, home to home, family to family, even church to church. You come to church, you see the woman. Oh, wow, it's a woman preaching. Huh? Or you come to church and you see the pastor. Wow, why always so happy, so smiley? It's a bit fake, you know, maybe he's not real, you know, then you bounce. You see the wife, she's so successful. How come? She's so talented and not fair. So you bounce from church to church. You know, people do that. You bounce from job to job. You don't get along with your boss. You don't get along with your co-workers. You bounce. You cancel people out. It's a cancel culture. Oh, my God is not like that. Our God is a God who does not believe in such philosophy that you can cancel. No, he gives people chances. Second chances. That's why if I were to ask you, would you take a second chance? Max, would you take a second chance? Amen. And the words of Kathy, why do we need a second chance? Because we are only humans. We will make mistakes. And Uncle Max will always say, that's why I laugh. He always says that. She always says in our life group, we're only humans. So true. We're only human. We make mistakes. You know, I don't know about you, but I need second chances. You know, I have this disease called foot and mouth disease. You know, I put my foot into it, I say things that are wrong, and then I so regret. Oh, it's just me, huh? Oh, well, that's why I need second chance. I'm cool. I'm good with that. Second chances. Our God are second chances. Why does he do that? Well, because he loves us. You know, he doesn't cancel us when we make mistakes. Let's look at Abraham. Abraham was, he was an old dude. But God had a plan for Abraham. And then Abraham went to sleep with Hagar. Why? And then he got Ishmael. But did God say, oh, I can't use you anymore. You're too old. And why would you disobey me? I gave you a promise. You know, but God didn't discard him. He didn't just chuck him away. You know, in this modern age, we unfriend, unfollow, dismiss, just canceled, and that's it. You know, throw away like yesterday's papers. No, Abraham was given a second chance. And then let's look at David. David, you know, slept with Bathsheba. What is up with men? What's up with women? Sorry, I just had to say that. It's so fun to be up here. Okay, stop. I'm laughing at my own jokes. It wasn't even funny. But anyway, God didn't just cancel out David. He didn't. He was like, you messed up. You can't be king anymore. No, God gave David a second chance. And so he restored him. And now we have Jesus, who came from the line of King David. Isn't that amazing? Would you like a God like that? Oh, come on. I'm going to keep walking now. If God gives us a second chance, we'll take it. Come on. To restore relationship. I'm about to tell you a really nice story. Jesus, when he was about to be taken, he says, you know what? They're going to take me away. They're going to kill me. Okay? I can't be with you much longer. And Peter says, no! I am not going to let that happen. Lord, you're my best buddy. You're my best friend. You're my Lord. You're my master. I can't let you do that. I won't let them do that. Peter said that. And Jesus said, Peter, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me 3 times. That's what Jesus said to Peter. And sure enough, they took Jesus away. And they took him for trial, and he was outside the courtyard. Was Peter there? No. You know when you go through the toughest times, and you need your friend beside you, but your friend is not there? It's a little hard, isn't it? It's a bit harsh. Well, Peter was warming his hands by the charcoal fire, and Jesus was standing trial there. Not with him. And then they said, aren't you? Okay, let's show this. In case you think I'm making it up. You aren't one of this man's disciple too, are you? She asked Peter, and he replied, I'm not. Whoa. You know, he did that 2 more times. He was just warming his hands by the charcoal fire. He did that 2 more times, a total of? Okay, you are still awake. The 3rd time he did that, when he said, man, I don't know him. I really practiced this for 5 weeks. And so he did it. And Peter, can you imagine what he felt like? Can you imagine? It's horrible. You just said, you're my best friend, you're my master, you're my Lord. And then I'm not there with you, and I deny you. I deny you 3 times, and that was prophesied by Jesus. And you know what? If you read Luke chapter 20, you will see Jesus turned to look at Peter. So every morning, Peter would wake up, and he was like, oh no, I denied my master. How could I do that? I'm so ashamed of myself. And every evening he goes out, he smells the charcoal burning, wood burning. He'll be like, oh no, oh no. And then he's warming his hands. It's supposed to be very comforting. You know, you're warming. Oh no, I messed up. Right? And even when he's with his buddies, all of them around, you know, warming their hands and just chilling, he's like, oh, I'm so full of shame. But you know what I like about Peter? And we can learn from him. He didn't stay away from fellowship. You know, some of us, when we do something wrong, we just like stay away. You know, we don't want to hang out. Don't go to life group. Don't go to worship prayer night. Don't want to go to church. I just want to be like a, what do you call that animal that hides inside? A tortoise, yeah. Senior moment. Oh, I'll stretch or bury the head in the sand. Yeah, that's a good one too. See, but Peter didn't stay away. Time after the resurrection, when Jesus appeared, Jesus showed himself to the disciples, Peter was there. And then a week later, when Jesus appeared in the WPN, the worship prayer night, yeah, ta-da, suddenly he appeared, and Peter was there. He says, and the 11 disciples were there. And 3rd time, he's about to appear, the 3rd time, Peter was there with the other disciples, fishing. They're fishing all night, didn't catch anything. And Jesus was on the shore. And then he said, yo, what's up? When I read my Bible, it's very epic. You know, I just put in sounds and, you know, if that was a bottle, you want some water, Dixon? Dixon was messing around with me yesterday. You want some water? You give me a bottle. No. So when I read my Bible, it's like, yo, what's up? You got any meat? He was asking him, did you get any fish? And Peter said, nah. And then Jesus said, throw the nets on the right side. I don't know if they were on the left side or they were on the wrong side, but Jesus said, throw it on the right side. And which they did. And they caught so many. It was like 153 big fish. And they hauled in and then boom! John realized, it's the Lord. Deja vu. Remember that time when they tried to catch and they couldn't get anything? It's the Lord. And Peter put on his coat, jumped into the sea, swam to shore. Dude, what's up? Who goes swimming with extra clothes on? He did. He was so excited. He wasn't even thinking. It's like, my Lord is there. I'm just going to go. You know? And so he did. He jumped. He got there. And, oh! Barbecue fish, you know, ikan panggang, roti bakar waiting. I'm not kidding you. Okay, it says here. Look up. When they got out on land, they saw charcoal fire in place with fish laid out. Fish laid out in it. Huh? It was his fish. He didn't use their fish because he said, bring some of the fish that you have caught. Jesus prepared his own fish to make breakfast for the disciples. I love the way Jesus restores relationship with Peter. He shows it by example. Look at that. Okay, remember that earlier bit when he was like charcoal fire and all that? Ah, PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. Every time you smell fire, hear the But then here, Jesus is waiting there. I don't think Peter really saw the fish. I think he saw the charcoal fire. I think when he looked at the charcoal fire, it'd be like, my Lord prepared breakfast for me. My Lord was waiting for me. My Lord is just wanting to hang out with me now. We're friends again. We're friends. I love the way Jesus does that. Do you think we could maybe learn from him and do that as well and give people second chances? And then after breakfast, they finished, Jesus said, Simon, he calls him by his first, the old name, Simon. Because you know when Jesus called Peter, he was Simon. Okay? And when he called Peter, he was by the shore. Yeah, he was fishing. And so when Jesus restores this relationship, he does it in such a beautiful way. It wasn't in a garden of Gethsemane. It wasn't up in a hill. It was by the shore where you hear the waves lapping, the smell of sea air, and then the charcoal fire burning. Everything restored. New neural pathways for Peter. Distraught with all that guilt and that condemnation, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these things? What are these? What do you think? Do you love me more than your work? Do you love me more than your fishing? Do you love me more than your buddies hanging out fishing, chill time, chillax time, your comfort zone? Do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Second time. Third time. Do you see the pattern? Three denials, and Jesus gave him three chances to say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I tell you, I love my God. I love the way he does things. I think back at all the times and I've messed up. And he just lovingly just take me through. Restore me. God is all about restoring relationships. And then you think, this is it, right? We're friends, we're buddies. And then you'd be like, you know, this is where you have the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You know, it's the end. No. What else is really important for Jesus? He said, feed my lambs. Tend to my sheep. And then ten, feed my sheep. Why? Aside from relationships, what is really important for Jesus? Can you see that word there? My? His flock. His flock is very important for him. His church is important. His people, all the disciples, his people. Jesus loves relationship. He created us for relationship. He also loves his flock. No one is to be left behind. No one is to be left out. We are to feed the lambs, are the little young disciples, and then we tend to them, which means you serve one another. I love church. I love church because we're just always serving each other. I mean, today I was given some nice drinks, Sing Boy and something, something, because I'm the preacher and I have to have, you know, my throat all like, oh my gosh, Mel, I love you. We serve each other. And then, you know, to see Master come back after 2 years, Master, haven't seen you. Yes, you know, it's just so nice to have the flock. Anyway, I'm sidetracking. I'm just excited to see all you people, you know, because church is very important for me, because it's very important for Christ. So he said, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, take care, serve them. Why? Because Peter had gone back to his old profession. He'd gone back to fishing. And Jesus said, Peter, when I called you to be fishers of men. I didn't call you just to be a fisherman. You can go ahead and be a fisherman, but you are still fishers of men. I have a plan for you. I have a call for you. I have such a good plan. You know, God is so interested in our life, a life that is so full and so abundant. And so he knows relationship has to be in order, and he knows that our calling has to be in order. But Peter went back. So aside from restoring relationships, he wants us to complete the call. Peter, you're relevant. Peter, I need you. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Peter, if you don't come back, if you don't get back to your call, this is not going to happen. You won't be here. Peter was relevant. The church is relevant. The bride of Christ, she's beautiful. She's strong. She's relevant. Church, I tell you, it's so relevant. Each and every one of us, we're given a second chance, not just to restore relationship, but to make sure that we complete our call, because there's a specific plan for each and every one of us. We get there, and then it's all good. Only two things to remember, Jesus, God said. Love God and love one another. It's very simple. Life is so simple if you get it right. Ah, okay. That's a bit squashy there. Okay, so look at this. There is a call upon our life. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know when God crafted us? Oh, he knitted us in our mother's womb. The numbers of hairs, he knows. Whether they drop off or for some of us. He knows. He is fearfully and wonderfully made. And we think, fearful? Why so fearful? Does that mean the baby comes out and the nurses go, ah, so ugly, fearful? No. It means it was with such reverence that he created us. With what? With the DNA of God inside. I'm not standing here as April. I have the DNA of God in me. I have the Spirit of God in me. I am so brave and so bold and courageous to speak the word of God, because I'm so confident that my God in me is greater than he that is in the world. And the enemy, he better be very afraid of me. Not just afraid of that mild, helpless, and harmless-looking baby, but be afraid of me, because I'm not going to stop. And God has called us to be just like that. We're called for a purpose. There is a purpose. Let's see what else. Can you see? Is it clear? Yeah. See, he wants us to succeed and not fail, to be the head and not the tail. He wants to build us up. He wants us promoted. He's got such good plans for us, such a good life for us. You know, we're supposed to grow old like Abraham and then just die. Like, and he was full. You know, that's what they said. He was full. Such a good life. Why is church so important? Ephesians 3:10. So that through the church, did you know this? Maybe some of you don't know this. Through the church, just when you think church is irrelevant, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. What does that mean? In the heavenly places, all these angels, they know. When you speak the word, oh, it is done. You lay hands on the sick, oh, they're going to get well. When you cast out demons, they go. I am so fearless. Why? Because I know I have the Spirit of God in me. A lot of us, we think, no la, not me, not now, not yet, just have a baby, just got married, just this, just. There's a lot of just. And you say, not now. But I tell you, when God calls, he doesn't ask us to come with all our qualifications. Let's take a look at this one. Look at that. I have a whole list of people here. Elijah was suicidal. Samson was a womanizer. Gideon was very insecure. Do you know that? Job went bankrupt. Abraham was old. Oh, yeah, he was very old. No excuses. You want to serve, you don't want to serve. You say, I'm too old. Hey, look at Max. He's still serving. He's awesome. You're awesome, Max. Yes. Why no one clapping? Why? All these people serving, you know, all these people coming in like Grace. I mean, she comes in straight from China. That sounded so funny. Sorry. She comes in and she's just like serving. And the people here, just serve. Come on. You know, when I talk to people individually, I'm always saying, are you serving? Come on, serve. Serve. Because when you're with the people of God, there's so much grace given. You mess up, it's okay. God will give us a second chance, and also the people of God will give you a second chance. Look at that. So, all that, people, God does not pick the qualified. He will qualify those that are called. Jonah tried to run away from God. Are you trying to run away from God? Don't. Because God knows where to find you. God says, go. Jonah says, no. God says, oh. He went down. You know when you go on the wrong side, you go down. You want to read Jonah chapter 2? It is epic. He was like drowning. He was going down, and there was nowhere else more down, and it was just hell after that. But he was going down. He was like the seaweeds around him. He felt his life leave him. He was really singing the doxology. You know, praise God from whom our blessings flow, all creatures here below. 4 seconds without hope. When you're feeling hopeless, 4 seconds, what would you do? What did Jonah do? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Got right his relationship with God. There is hope. 4 seconds. Did you know 2 disciples actually betrayed Jesus? Same sin, different expression. Okay? One said yes with a kiss. The other one said no, I don't know him. One chose the rope. The other one chose the rock of salvation. The one who chose the rope, he hung himself. The one who hung on to the rock, he hung on to hope. And God completed the call in Peter. So when God calls us, say yes. Because even if we fail, he's a God of second chances. So we'll always be celebrating Christmas, because Christmas is hope and hope is second chances. And God is the God of love. He will always give us second chances. We're so safe with him. I am very confident of this. That neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nothing, no power, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God. That is how much God loves us. He is so slow to anger, abounding in love. Come on. We do not have to fear anything. If you say, stick with my people, serve each other, love each other, stick in church, that's a good plan there. Because here, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another, and then we grow. We grow. When I first became a Christian, you think I could stand up here and talk? I had a stutter. Every time I talk in front of people, my face go red. Like, seriously, I'm not even exaggerating. Liars go to hell. But hey, I just say, I'll do it. Lord, I love you. You love me? I love you. You love me? I love you. Put your money where your mouth is. You love God, and God says, would you go and visit this person? Would you pray for that person? Would you do this? Would you do that? You say yes. Yes, I will. I want a talented person to move herself to that part of the room. The talented person. I like for us to spend some time to think, you know. When we have 4 seconds left, you know, I know that sometimes we feel like, oh, this hope is not for me, you know, but let me tell you something. Second chances is for all of us. It's for moms and dads, kids, teenagers, those in campus, those working adults, those in family group. It's not just for the person sitting next to you. It's for you. It's for me. It's for our present situation. It's for our future. Okay, it's for the now and for the not yet. It's for the seen and the unseen things. It's for all of us, second chances. Okay? Now, if you're here in church for the first time, a second chance for you. If you've been coming to church for so long, you're so old, nobody notices you anymore. You're like part of the furniture, like me. We get a second chance too. Okay? Now, if you're single, if you're married, if you're divorced, a second chance. What a God we serve. So let's spend some time reflecting how, if God teaches us and he shows us so skillfully how he gives us second chances, can we give other people second chances too? Let's not cancel anyone out. Let's just be the kind of people that walk the talk with Jesus. Let's pray. I know that I'm not just imagining this. I know that there's some of us here with situations that are really very hard to solve by yourself. That's when you need God. You need a second chance. And this is very timely. You're that person, you say, God, I don't know what happened. Maybe I just forgot. Maybe I forgot that I can trust you and I can just give it to you. And Lord, I want today to respond to that. I want to hang on and claim that second chance. I want to finish the call. Whatever it is that you called me to do, Lord, I want to do that. Is there anyone here? All eyes are closed. Come on, keep your eyes closed. Head down. Is there anyone here? There is a Spirit of God here that can set you free. I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone here? You need prayer, any situation. You need a healing. You need a healing in a relationship with people. Something went wrong. And you just want God to give you a second chance. Is there anyone here that you want prayer? God can do it. He's a God of miracles. Second chances. The only thing we can run out of is time. So Lord, when we are going down, when we're drowning, and when we're just feeling like it's quite hopeless, we want to be able to remember that you're a God of second chances, and you can pluck us out from any depth of despair. So Father, in Jesus' name, would you go into each and every heart here? Would you heal the broken heart? Would you bind up their wounds? Would you set captives free today, Lord? And thank you for hope. Thank you for that first Christmas. We bless you so much.